Approaching Principles for Independent Archives by Luke Bacon, 17th of February, 2014. I'm building an open, independent repository of public interest documents around a specific topic, a place where records of interest can be collected, organized, and made accessible, an independent archive. This archive, Detention Logs, currently presents incident report data from Australia's Immigration Detention Network, but would like it to present more kinds of data and make what's there more accessible. In working on this project, I've collected some basic principles for an independent archiving project. These are some of my thoughts on approaching the project and an open invitation for thoughts from others, which I'll collect and I'll weave in. The more projects support each other to develop their ideas and practices, the more effective we can all be. No matter who you are, most of the smartest people work for someone else. Joy's Law. If you've also been thinking about these issues, I'd really encourage you to respond and contribute in some way. Often the smallest, simplest bits are the most useful. Why archive? Recently, I baited some smart people to think about the value in archives on Twitter. Cassie Finlay came back with this clear response. Archives are evidence of business and activity. Their use is contingent on time, place, and relationship to power. Records, the stuff in archives, are evidence. We need evidence to make informed decisions about all kinds of things. Personal decisions, political decisions, design decisions, business decisions, policy decisions, etc. Evidence is crucial to our ideas of legal and social justice, and to memory, history, prediction, and planning. An archive is the evidence material and the system of its processing, organization, presentation, and access. It's the records and the context around them. Collect, organize, provide. There are many interesting unreported documents floating around the web, documents that are evidence of government, business, and cultural activity. They've been officially published, but barely meet the loosest interpretation of accessibility. An unhelpfully named, uncategorized file is quietly placed on an obscure or obscuring webpage, no description, hiding in public. For example, all the incident report data published by Detention Logs had long been available on Immigration Department FOI disclosure logs or on Googleable web servers. They had gone unreported because it was expensive to understand what they were, process, and analyze them. It took us hundreds or thousands of hours to get each incident report out of the original PDF. And yes, we tried scraping and it didn't work. While there are open government and accessibility guidelines, most of the documents we've collected don't meet them. This is especially true of documents received through the Freedom of Information system. People in a position of power are incentivized to be closed with their information. We need legislation and a culture of transparency to make sure people with useful information share it. The act of collecting, categorizing, transcoding, and republishing evidence to make it more accessible to more people is an important act of accountability journalism. It lowers the cost for others to use and act upon that information. There's also the issue of secret, unofficial, suppressed, and censored records. What does the public have a right to know? The question of what to collect is obviously crucial, but here I'm thinking about what do we do with the records once they're collected? Why independent? Why set up an archive independently? What is the role of projects like Info Australia, Open Australia, Homicide Watch, Dronestagram, Planning Alerts, and Detention Logs? There are big government archives, libraries, journalism institutions, universities, and corporations with programs to preserve and provide access to records. Why not leave it to the experts? As more services become digital and more people carry devices creating more data with them more of the time, the amount of interesting evidence worth preserving is exploding. The task of judging what to keep, what to let go, and what should never be collected becomes ever more complex. The cost of collecting, organizing, storing, and providing access to this material requires a constant budget, in part because of the unstable nature of digital storage. Funding for the types of institutions that run these projects is not increasing to match this demand. Already, a huge amount of archiving practice has been taken up by corporations like Google, Ancestry, and Facebook. We don't know the future of these projects. We just know that a lot of these types of companies have deleted a huge amount of our information in the past. There's a strong insurance argument for creating diverse, networked archives. While there are journalism institutions that publish the primary source material they report on, many don't. There are certainly legitimate reasons not to publish this material with an article, but often you get the impression that the publisher is in a defensive, competitive headspace, not thinking about the long-term value of their work or the ways in which their audience might want to explore a story. Most institutions deny access by default. Creating open collections of source material is an act of journalism most easily committed by people that don't live and die by exclusives. It's also just not that easy to organise and provide access to source material, even when institutions want to. This stuff is difficult. There are thousands of years of archiving history and long-established professional communities of archivists, librarians, and record keepers. For people working independently, it's important to engage that practice and draw on its deep knowledge. It's also important to promote the work of the projects on the outside. Many within archivist communities believe their current practices are buckling under the weight of abundant digital data. The unrestrained experiments and improvisations of independent projects can feed back into their toolboxes. The perspectives of users, archivists, historians, journalists, researchers, designers, engineers, librarians, accountants, administrators, lawyers, teachers, students, artists, etc., can be drawn out to answer questions about publishing public records. Why should we collect? What should we collect? Who should have access and why? What should they have access to do with the records? How can access be provided? Small parts loosely joined. At a recent meeting of a few information activist-type people, Joel Pringle pushed the idea that not every project has to optimise for access of all types of users. Some projects collect data, like Right to Know. Others organise and present it, like detention logs. Others engage people in visual stories with the data, like Behind the Wire, which was published by the Global Mail. While each of these examples have a clear purpose, they also blur across categories, and the more projects succeeding and failing with different approaches, the better. Small projects are best positioned to engage focused communities. They should also be open, thoughtfully networked, and encourage the potential for widespread access. Striving for universal accessibility and trying to engage a mass audience are very, very different things. It's easy for unfunded volunteer projects to stretch themselves too thin. A multitude of networked approaches overlapping in time as well as topic will reach the furthest. The web gets its value not from the smoothness of its overall operation, but from its abundance of small nuggets that point to more small nuggets. And most important, the web is binding not just pages, but us human beings in new ways. We are the true small pieces of the web. We are loosely joining ourselves in ways that we're still inventing. David Weinberger, Small Pieces Loosely Joined, 2002. Why principles? Principles are a tool you put your ideas into so you don't have to reconsider all the angles from scratch every time you want to make a decision. They say how a project will pursue its mission, articulating a shared vision for work. I'm advocating for lots of small projects with divergent approaches, so why suggest common principles? What I'm really trying to do is just get people to share their ideas and experiences in a useful form that can be quickly adapted to other projects. Each project should have their own distinct principles, and they should be made available on our /principles page. Because principles are modular by nature, you can consider your own project's position and then draw on the knowledge of people who have been there before. Reuse and plug together your own set of guidelines. Jeremy Keith has a fantastic collection of principles on his website. How and why to contribute. The easiest way to contribute to the principles is to leave a comment responding to the principles below. You can use the commenting system, email or tweet me, publish a responding blog post, whatever you like. Preferably, you should respond somewhere public so everyone can see the discussion. You'll see that I've also made some recommendations for the type of contributions that might be productive. I've published the principles on GitHub where you can edit and improve them. This has been inspired by ProPublica's Nerds Guides. I know not everyone's a GitHub user, so there's a quick video on this page on how to sign up and why to sign up. Please also feel welcome to post changes to the principles in the comments section on the website as well. If there's ideas in the comments that should be turned into edits on the GitHub repository, I can do that. Why contribute though? There's a lot of work to do and we need lots of people involved to do it. Most people, like me, don't have formal training in information management. The more we can share our experiences and knowledge and support the community of people doing this work, the more impact our projects will have. The technological landscape that we're working in is racing away beneath us. I don't know anyone who feels like they know what's coming next. Belonging to a community means participating, observing, and generally being in attendance, either physically or virtually. But being an advocate requires stepping forward and helping to articulate that community's needs or advance their interests, or, when necessary, protect their rights. You need to both amplify and clarify the values of a community, not merely share them. Mandy Brown, Represent, 2011. That's the blog post. And then here are the principles. Principles for independent archives. Here are some broad, basic goals for an independent archive project and design principles which could help the project achieve them. This is meant to be the start of a conversation. Any kind of rough contribution or idea is very, very welcome. Contributions could include leaving a comment of any length with a response or thought about what an independent archive should do, making suggestions for adding or cutting principles, suggesting references or more information on individual principles, improving the explanations of principles, and or pointing out how wording could be improved, typos, etc., and I've had a lot of help there. The Principles for Independent Archives is licensed under Creative Commons 1.0 Universal Public Domain Dedication. To the extent possible under law, Luke Bacon has waived all copyright and related or neighbouring rights to Principles for Independent Archives. If you make a contribution in the comments section or make edits through GitHub and they are added or used in the original text, your contribution will also fall under this license to make it as reusable as possible to others. Goals for an independent archive. Reduce the cost of using and acting on the evidence in the archive. Engage new people in the records. Preserve access to the evidence for as long as possible in as many ways as possible. Principles. Use open standards. Presenting records and data in a consistent, standardized, common format reduces the cost for others to use and act upon them. Open and long-lived formats, standards, and structures have a better chance of lasting over time than closed proprietary standards. Think long-term. From day one, plan for shutdown. All projects end. Small, under-resourced, personal projects are not excluded. Discuss and have a plan for this situation. If possible, the records should remain accessible long after work on the project has stopped. Stay small. Let others create meta-collections. Provide clarity over quantity. Build something small. Even just a few dozen documents focused on a specific topic are valuable in the network. If we're after a multitude of approaches, there's value in the tiniest project. Strive for universal accessibility. Be accessible by default. Provide multiple ways to access the same content. Usability and accessibility must be at the core of an archive. Machine readability is not only central to accessibility, but will make a project useful to other projects, devices, search engines, scrapers, and so on. Make the legal accessibility of your project clear. What rights are reserved and how may others use the work? Wide accessibility can support redundancy by allowing and supporting other people to create backup copies. Store the original record, present its essence over its resolution. It's important to store a copy of the original records as you found them. You can't predict what extra interest that master copy may acquire in the future. Sometimes, presenting this original record may be difficult or even problematic. It's more important that people can access something rather than nothing. Many people might need to access a version with a smaller file size or only the metadata. Work together. Invite feedback and new perspectives. The network enables these projects and makes them valuable by massively increasing how information can be combined. Support the network in turn. Provide helpful links between projects as much as possible. Share and discuss your methods. Believe in your ideas. An independent perspective is worth a lot. Properly documented, your project's failures may be more valuable to the community than its successes. If you think something will further your project's goals, try it. As long as it supports your goals, stay independent. If another entity is offering to take over your work or contribute to the project, consider whether their priorities are fully compatible with the goals of your project. In confronting the enormous challenges facing archivists, journalists and others looking to promote diverse public access to knowledge, we need a multitude of approaches to find workable solutions. This recording of Approaching Principles for Independent Archives by Luke Bacon, 2014, is available for your use under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 4.0 International License. In summary, this means that as long as you attribute Luke Bacon and provide a link to the website equivalentideas.com and cite this license, you may share, republish, and remix this work for non-commercial purposes. If you're interested in this work, you might be interested in other recordings soon to be recorded or writing at equivalentideas.com. This was recorded on the 14th of September 2014, so a few months after the original post, and the principles had actually been updated since they were originally written, and I've read the updated version. The website for the principles and all its source code is all hosted on GitHub, so you can go and edit them and see how all of that works. Thanks for listening.